This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we finish up Galatians with final warnings and benediction. Then we launch into 1 Peter with intro, born anew to a living hope as obedient children, and the precious blood of Christ. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
And as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. O Lord, have mercy on us."
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
Now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It was about 19 years ago that I first stepped into this pulpit in Dr. Fekencher's Hom 1 class. And after giving a very mediocre sermon, at least by my own estimation, Dr. Fekencher, as I came down these steps, greeted me and said, "How'd you like it? It's great, isn't it?" And I said to myself, "Self, this man may be insane." But I'm here today, 19 years later, to certify that I do not think that Dr. Fekencher is insane. He was someone so instrumental in the formation of me as a pastor, and his joy about preaching was literally contagious, and I appreciate him so much. I appreciate this opportunity to be here, and I greet you from the saints at Our Savior Lutheran in Louisville. From our text today in Acts 4, we follow from what we heard yesterday, how after healing the lame man, and the lame man's jumping about and all excited about health, the crowd comes running together. What's this all about? And the Holy Spirit opens Peter's mouth, and he's able to preach Jesus Christ. "It's not by my gift that I heal this man," Peter witnesses, "but it is by the power of the living Jesus." And as people are listening to him and the Holy Spirit is at work drawing them, enlightening them, we hear that at the conclusion of that sermon, the number of people increased to 5,000 believers. But immediately, the people of the temple, the authorities, rush in and seize Peter and John. It's late, and they've got dinner to get to, so they throw them in jail, and they'll do their work tomorrow. Peter and John are left there in the jail, wondering what will become of them. Perhaps they remember that Jesus had promised that they would in fact be placed in front of authorities, and at that time they should not worry about what they would say, but that the Holy Spirit would inspire them, would give them the words to say. In our lives as the church of God, as witnesses of Christ Jesus, crucified for our sins, buried and resurrected, we will find ourselves in different situations. There'll be times, perhaps, when we get to witness to people that are excited along with the people that have been healed. Hey, this is great. And we have the joy of celebrating together at Easter, and everybody is kind of on board with you, and they're excited too. And you're in their midst. Then there'll be other times when you find yourself preaching to people that are not so friendly to the message. It's at those times that we as witnesses, as disciples of Jesus Christ, really have to face some temptations. You see, when we're preaching to people that are excited along with us, there, it seems to me anyway, there's an opportunity to kind of hear ourselves preaching and think, huh, that was pretty good. I'm a good preacher, or I'm a good witness, or something like that. The sin of pride is lurking. It's crouching right there at the door of our hearts. We're tempted to take our eyes off of Jesus and to close our ears to what he is saying and instead begin in our own eloquence to rely upon ourselves. But we'll find that when we do that, we are in fact bankrupt. That it is not of our own reason or strength that we are equipped to do the work of preaching Jesus Christ. That we depend upon his word, and that word needs to be our message. Not just teaching about that word, but also holding forth before people's eyes the very living Jesus Christ, the resurrected one who came and is in their midst because two or three are gathered in his name. I don't want people to see me when I'm preaching or bearing witness to Christ in my life. I want them to see Jesus. So the task of preaching or witnessing is always a task that requires our humility, requires us to be subservient to the word of God, to not be ashamed of the gospel or the law for that matter. Peter in his preaching to the Sanhedrin here is very bold. He tells it exactly how it is. He reminds them that they are responsible for Jesus' death. That's not a courage that came from within him. That was a courage that Christ Jesus gave as he clothed Peter in the power of the Holy Spirit. There will be times in your lives, whether you're going to be pastors and preachers, or if you're lay people serving on a council at the church, where you'll be set in the midst of people arguing for this or that, that may not even be about scripture, might be something trivial like what color the carpet should be in the sanctuary. And you'll be tempted at that point when there is conflict to use your office or to use God's word in a way that may not be wholly honest, to use it as a bit of a proof text to prop up your position while perhaps not really giving it the authority that it deserves in its context. The temptation there again is to to turn away from Christ and His Word and to just preach on your own authority. This is dangerous because it means that we are getting away from the one name under heaven that has been given, Jesus Christ. When we find ourselves in those situations, when we have a Dr. Fakencher asking, "That was great, wasn't it?" and we're not feeling that, it's a good opportunity for us to remember that we are the bride of Christ, that we are his people, and that it is He that speaks to us first and then opens our mouth so that we can declare His praise. As we prepare to give witness to Jesus, it's important to remember something that John the Baptist told us. In John 3, verses 29 and through 30, he says, "The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. He must increase, but I must decrease." As witnesses to Jesus Christ, our prayer is that we ourselves would decrease as we magnify Christ Jesus for us. In our conversations among the church or among even our own family and the conflict that sometimes arises there, when we're in the midst of it and we're feeling defensive, to look to Jesus and not try to justify ourselves, but remember that this Jesus who was crucified for us, who met us in the waters of baptism and crucified that old sinful Adam, that does get very defensive in the midst of people, that old Adam is not who we are any longer in Christ Jesus. Because Christ Jesus is risen, He's risen indeed, we also are alive with Him, and we are witnesses to the bridegroom. When I'm standing in front of you now, 19 years later, in the midst of you, and you are eagerly listening, but I'm still trembling like a leaf. If Dr. Fakencher asked me today, "That was great, wasn't it?" there is still a part of me that would say, "He might be crazy." But during the course of the 19 years of walking with Jesus, he has been faithful. And He has walked with me and continued to preach His word to me in such a way that He holds the cross before my eyes and He helps me to see Him. Even when I'm preaching, I see that He is present with His bride and He's speaking to me. The value of what is being said doesn't depend upon me. The success of it all doesn't have anything to do with me. I preach Jesus and Him crucified and risen from the dead. And that's what we all as witnesses are called to do. And so we get to see Jesus in our midst. We get to receive His forgiveness and His word. We get to be crucified in our sinful nature once more so that we might be absolved and made alive. How is it that the disciples so faithfully went out into the world and preached the gospel? It was not by their own power, but it was by Jesus. The name by which no other name is given on heaven, in heaven or on earth, the name in which you are saved and forgiven. Am I happy today? Am I filled with joy? Do I think this is great? Yes, because Jesus is here, and his bride is here, and I get to celebrate with you all the excellencies that surpass all understanding. As Jesus stood in the midst of the disciples, even when the doors were locked, and said, "Peace be with you," so he stands again today and says, "Peace." Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds, Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
In our prayers, we remember Reverend Bengt Bergesen, a student in our STM program in Gothenburg, Sweden, along with his wife Maria, as they await departure from a mission trip to Israel. We also pray for Bishop Torkild Masvi of the Norwegian Lutheran Church as he awaits departure from Israel. Let us pray. O God, through the humiliation of your Son, you raised up the fallen world. Grant to your faithful people, rescued from the peril of everlasting death, perpetual gladness and eternal joys. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Merciful Lord, you have promised that in the midst of turmoil and strife, you will never forsake your own. Grant protection to Masvi, Bengt, and Maria, that they may return home safely, giving thanks in all circumstances to you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, Almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Taught by our Lord and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord Almighty bless us and direct our days and our deeds in his peace.
Amen.